They made me feel like a prisoner. They made me feel set free. They made me feel like a criminal. They made me feel like a king. They've lifted my heart to places I've never been. Then they dragged me down again, back to where I began. Listen to the songwriter's prayer in these next words. He says, let my words be life. Let my words be truth. I don't want to say a word unless it points the world back to you. Well, I hope at the end of this message that'll be your prayer and your heart's desire. See, as this psalm points out, we all carry within our bodies an instrument that has the ability to be a weapon. A weapon that can slash people and hurt people and destroy people, but it also has the potential to be a tool. It's a tool that can build people up. It's a tool that can encourage people in the darkest moments of their life. It's a tool that can speak truth that turns people around. It's our tongue. And James says this about the tongue. He says, if you can learn to tame the tongue, you can tame the whole body. The person that has the ability to get their language under control has the ability to get every area of their life subject to the lordship of Christ. You see, language is more important than most of us realize. We live in a culture today where people no longer value language. There was a time where if I had a car for sale and you came up and you offered me an amount and I said I would take it, we would shake hands, we would go home, and it would never cross our mind that that wasn't our agreement. But today, when somebody says they're going to do something, for most people, it really means nothing at all. Today we see profanity that is used in the place of any kind of intelligent conversation. You don't have to make an argument or a response today. Just throw out some profanity. If you want to be a stand-up comic but you don't know how to be funny, just throw out some profanity and crude language. This is where our culture has went to. But you see, language is extremely important for a lot of reasons. One of those reasons is its ability to affect others in either a negative or a positive way. And another reason is it's a reflection of who we are. You may think that language is not that important, but the one old country preacher said, what's down in the well will come up in the bucket every time. And what he meant by that was, it's what's in our heart is what's going to eventually come out through our mouth. And so as we look at James today, and he talks about taming the tongue, that is, getting our language under control. This is a very important issue for all of us. You may be thinking today, Pastor, I don't use profanity. That's great. There's so many other ways that you can misuse language. You can use it to slander people. You can use it to gossip about people. You can use it to flatter people. You can use it to lie. There's so many things that you can do with language. And James teaches us that because it's so important, it's an area of our life that we have to get under control. So James chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, is where we're at today. Would you just stand with me out of honor and reverence for God's word as we read this together? James chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. This is what the Bible says. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a force is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing, my brothers. These things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'd help us to make our language consistent with our profession that we follow Christ. I pray today that you convict us about every wrong thing that we say and every harsh thing that we say. And Father, I pray that we'd have a desire to turn this area of our life over to you. For it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, one of the things that James teaches us here, and he gives us several examples, he talks about a forest fire, and he talks about horses being controlled by bits in their mouth, and he talks about great ships that are controlled by small rudders. And the reality is that our speech often directs our life. We need to be careful with so many words, but in particular, verse 1 points out that we need to be careful with the words we use to tell others about Christ. So notice what he says in verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Well, I don't think that James is really discouraging people from becoming teachers, but he's pointing out that if you're going to become a teacher, whether this means you're going to be a pastor and a preacher, or whether it means you're going to teach a Sunday school class, if you're going to be a teacher, you need to be aware that God is holding us accountable for the things that we say and how it affects other people. And so he says here, understand that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. So when we teach people, and whether it's from an official capacity as a Sunday school teacher, or whether it's just one-on-one as we talk to people about Christ, we need to think carefully about how we say what we're saying, because we know that God is going to hold us accountable for our language. Our language is one of the hardest aspects of life to control. This is why we have metaphors like bite your tongue, because how many times have we found ourselves just itching to say something, but we knew we shouldn't, and so we use this metaphor to bite our tongue. It means when you have this strong desire that you just truly want to say something in a moment. And we see this, you know, with children. I remember when my kids were smaller, and they're great, but they're humans. And so when they were smaller, they had some issues every once in a while, and we'd have to get on to them. And I remember I had one daughter in particular that always had to have the last word. And the only issue was that was I had determined that as the father, I was going to have the last word. And so sometime this went on for a really long time until somebody finally got in the last word. Have you ever just been in a situation where you just have to say something else? And the reality is that when we're in that situation, we usually find ourselves saying something that should not have been said, or saying something in a way that it should not have been said. And so James teaches us here. He says, for we all stumble in many ways. So James has made it clear throughout his book that none of us are perfect. He says, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Well, as James says, that we all stumble in many ways. So he's making it clear that he understands we are all sinners. We all stumble in many ways. But then he goes on to say, but if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. I don't know, do we have any perfect people among us today? I didn't prepare a message for perfect people, so I'm sorry. If you're here today, this isn't going to really relate to you, but just enjoy the next few moments as I try to help everybody else. It's a mere mortal. Because the rest of us, we all stumble in many ways. And one of the ways that we stumble is with our language. And if we can learn to get our language under control, and I know that it's really hard. It's extremely hard. You may have one area under control, but most of us struggle with one area or another. And it can be as simple as constantly exaggerating things. It can be the little snide remarks we always have to get in. It can be sarcasm that keeps us from being able to really be open to people about what we believe and what we think. It can be the envy inside of us that leads us to slander people. The tongue is hard to control. And yet, when Jesus invited us to come under his lordship, that is to make him the Lord of our life. When we decided that we wanted to follow Christ, the Lord did not say, I want you to follow me in every area except language. That one's just too hard. Don't mess with that. Say whatever you want to. That's not what he said. It's every area of our life that we have to get under control. And so even though it's difficult because our sinful nature loves to manifest itself through our speech, it's one of these areas that we have to get under control. Don't ever underestimate the potential of your speech. And when I say the potential, I mean the potential to do good and the potential to do harm. We can hurt people so deeply with a single sentence that it can take them years to get over. Even if they forgive us, the pain is still there. And yet, people are discouraged, hurting. A couple of kind words can encourage them and move them to the point that you become a memorable person in our life for years. One time we were not in ministry, and we were in between churches, and we were visiting somewhere to just join and be a member and be a part of. And we went to this church, and it was about this size. And I was there that morning. I didn't know anybody. And I came back that night, and when I walked through the door, there was a deacon standing in the foyer. And you know what he said to me? He said, "Hi, Kevin." Two words. You know what it did for me? Changed my whole perception about that church. I thought, I've been here one service, and this guy shook my hand one time, and he knows who I am. I thought, wow, they must really care about people at this church. Two words. That's all he said. The power of remembering somebody's name. Our words have enormous potential to help people or to harm people, to hinder people or to move them along. And so verse 3, this is why he says, if we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. And he talks about these ships, the massive ship, and a little rudder drives it along in the certain direction where the pilot wishes it to go. But listen to verse 5. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Well, our language can produce all kinds of unrighteousness. Our language has the ability to manifest so many ungodly things in our life and cause so many difficulties and problems for people around us. That's why in verse 6 it says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. So if we begin to think about our language and being careful, there's some broad categories I want us to think about this morning. First of all, we need to be careful what we say about other people. The Bible is pretty clear that as followers of Christ, we should not be gossiping about other people. And it's also clear that we shouldn't slander other people either. And slander and gossip are pretty closely related, but they're not exactly the same thing. In fact, slander is whenever you make a false accusation about somebody, but you know, you can be telling them the truth and still be gossiping. Gossiping is whenever you pass along negative information about somebody, and your motive is not in any way driven by the desire to help them, but instead you want to harm them. And we have a way around this in church life. Do you know what we say? We share all this negative information about somebody, and I mean, it's like chocolate in our mouth. Just all this negative that we know that the other person doesn't know, and we get to be the person to tell all this about somebody, and then when we're at the end, here's what we say. I'm just telling you this so you'll know how to pray. They didn't need to know all that to know how to pray. And that was not our motive. We just loved it. We, for some reason, the sinful nature enjoys seeing the demise of other people. So we need to be careful what we say about other people. There's times that we have to pass along negative information. We have a good reason for doing so. The staff, when we find out something that's going on, we all share it amongst each other. We need to know. We have to know who's around our children. We have to know different situations. There's times that we need to know. There's times that you need to pass along negative information. But the issue is our motive. Do we pass it along because we're reveling in the demise of somebody else? Or do we truly pass it along because we have good intentions? Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 101 verse 5. It says, whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Well, I'd say the Lord takes this pretty serious, don't you? Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. Leviticus 19:16, the Lord gave them this commandment about slander when they were to go into the promised land. This is what he says. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. And then just in case we wonder about why should he say this, he says, I am the Lord. The Lord's very concerned about what we say about other people. Proverbs 16:28 says, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. So we need to be careful what we say about other people. And when I was growing up at First Baptist Pigeon Forge, we had a pastor that came that was an interim one time. And I'll never forget, he told this story that's helped me my whole life. He talked about that when he was in seminary, they were extremely poor. And he would go to these certain meetings and he would preach and he would need to wear a white shirt. But he said, we just didn't have a lot of money to buy different shirts. And he said, I tried to be very careful with them. We washed them by hand. It was very hard on them. And so he said, I would try to sneak in once or twice reusing a shirt. And so he said, sometimes I would get a shirt and I would think, you know, I just wore it for a couple of hours. Could I wear it one more time before we wash it again? And I would take it to my wife and I'd say, honey, what do you think about this one? Do you think I could wear this one more time? And he said, she would always say to me, Roy, if it's doubtful, it's dirty. And he said, you know, I found that to be a good spiritual principle. That if I ever have to question myself, is it really okay for me to say this? Is it really a good idea? Most of the time, if it's doubtful, it's dirty. And so if you have to think before you say something about somebody, you probably don't need to say it at all. So we need to be careful how we talk about other people, but we also need to be careful how we talk to other people. We have the ability to insult people. We have the ability to lie to people. We have the ability to flatter people. And we have the ability to curse people by our speech. Psalm 12, 1 through 4. Listen to what the psalmist says about how we speak to other people. Save, O Lord, for the godly one is gone. For the faithful had vanished from among the children of man. Everyone utters lies to his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that makes great boasts. Those who say with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are with us. Who is master over us. The psalmist is talking about arrogant people who are constantly boasting while they lie to their neighbor and flatter them. The Lord is very concerned about how we speak to other people. There needs to be honesty and integrity in our speech to others. This doesn't mean you need to be rude all the time, but you need to be honest. And you need to think about your motive for how you're speaking to someone. We need to be careful what we say about other people. We need to be careful what we say to other people. We also need to be careful what we say about ourselves. The sinful nature is prideful and arrogant. And if we let it have its way in our language, it will result in boasting and arrogant speech. And I don't think I really need to give any examples. If you've lived on this earth, you know what boasting and arrogant speech sounds like. And so God wants us to be careful about our language. Last thing we see in verses 9 through 12 is this very sobering admonition that you can't have double standards with your language. Listen to verse 9 through 12. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Well, he's pointing out how inconsistent this is. Why would we bless God and curse the people that are made in his likeness and in his image? In verse 10, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. And here's the warning that we really need to listen to. He says, does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? No. I mean, that's the obvious implied answer. No. A spring produces one kind of water. Whatever is underground is what comes out. I mean, either it's salt water or it's fresh water. They don't both come out together. Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? No. Can a grapevine produce figs? No. He said, neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. And what James is pointing out is that if we have a fresh heart, we shouldn't have a salty mouth. Whatever's in our heart should be coming out through our mouth. And whether we want to admit it or not, what's coming out of our mouth is an indication of what's in our heart. We need to have speech that is consistent with who we are in Christ. And that covers every area, from our interaction with other people, to the things that we say about people, to the things that we say about God, to the things that we say to God. Everything in our speech is an expression of who we are. Several years ago, there was this movement, and I was in a seminary at the time. I was at a very liberal seminary that I left. But while I was there, they were making fun of this movement. I don't know if you remember or not, but the students had these bracelets, and it was a big thing to have acronyms, and there was all kinds of acronyms. I remember people came out with these frog bracelets, and frog stood for fully rely on God, and all these different things. But the one they were really making fun of was the WWJD. What would Jesus do? And I don't see that much anymore, but students used to wear those things all the time. What would Jesus do? Do you know? You can make fun of that if you want to, but that's some pretty sound advice to live by, especially when it comes to our language. And you think about some of the things that you say. And just ask yourself, could you imagine Jesus saying what you just said? He said, well, that's totally different. No, that's exactly what James is saying. That's James's point. James is saying that fig trees produce figs. They don't produce olives. Grapevines produce grapes. They don't produce grapes. And Christians who are following Christ, they don't produce profanity all the time. They don't produce slander all the time. They don't produce gossip all the time. None of us are perfect, but we should be on a path of getting our language under control, because the Christian life is about us being transformed from the person that we used to be to the person that Christ is calling us to be like Him. We're trying to be transformed into His image. And part of being transformed is transforming our speech. And the reason that it's so hard is because our speech does reflect who we are. And when we begin to deal with our speech, sometimes we have to deal with the issue that we're not really who we were claiming to be. Because God doesn't want us just to say that we love people. He wants us to love people. And when you love people, you don't go around behind their back all the time, slandering them. You don't go up to them and flatter them with lies to try to manipulate them. And you don't get on social media and constantly type out all kinds of profanity and curse words. Instead, you use your language to the glory of God. We've all failed in this area at some point in our life. But God wants us to change how we live and who we are. He wants us to be different from this point forward. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that You convict us about the things that we say. And Lord, I pray that we would have a true desire to change our speech so that our words would build people up and point them to You. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Do you know what James said about people in verse 9? He says about the tongue, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people. Listen to this. Who are made in the likeness of God. You know, the Bible says that we were all made in the likeness and the image of God. But we're not like God. Because even though Adam was made in the image of God, he sinned against God. And when he did, he took on a sinful nature. But God doesn't want to leave us like that. He wants to restore us. He wants us to bring us back to the point in our life that we are like Him. That's what it means to be a Christian, to follow Christ and to be like Him. But it begins with a step in our life. It begins at the point that we realize that there are things that we've done that are wrong and things that we must change. And when you come to that point that you understand that you must change and that you don't have the ability to pay for your sin, that's when it becomes good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross in our place. You see, James says that we've all stumbled in many ways, but the good news is there's one who's never stumbled in any way, and that's Jesus. You see, the reason that Jesus died on the cross is because you and I, we don't have anything that we could offer that could ever pay for our sins. We don't have anything that could ever cover our sin. You could go today and you could be whipped and scourged and you could die an excruciating death on a cross, but it wouldn't pay for your sin. Because you see, you haven't lived a perfect life. The reason that Jesus' death was different was not because it was so painful. It was because it was undeserved. You see, the Bible says that He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. And so today, if you would like to follow Christ, it begins by making a commitment. and making a decision that you don't want to be the person that you used to be, but that you want to be like him. It involves a lot more than just your language. You see, he wants to take over every area of your life, not just your language. And he wants to conform you to be like him. If you've never taken that first step of deciding to follow Christ, you can do that right now. You see, the Bible says that if we pray and we ask for forgiveness of sin, that he'll hear us and he'll answer our prayers. For those of us that have already made that step, we're not what we're supposed to be. Paul talked about that. He was striving for it, reaching for the goal, but he had not yet attained it. If the Apostle Paul had not yet attained it, we've surely not attained it either. God still has work that he wants to do in our life. He has areas that he wants to transform and make like his son. And maybe for you today, that area that needs the greatest work is not language. Maybe it's something else. But if God has convicted you about some area of your life that you need to change or transform, would you just give it to him? If you'll just call out in prayer and say, God, I don't want to do this anymore. Give me the power to stop. Give me the wisdom to know what to do. He will answer that prayer. And we can become more like his son. So friend, whatever you need to do, let's do it right now as we sing. Let's stand together.